ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
It's hard to believe, I don't know for you, but for me, that the year's over, right? I mean, it seems like we just started it, and time seems to be flying by, and when we look at all that's been taking place, it's crazy out in this world. And I'm not just talking about, you know, political issues or, let's see if I can get my computer to work. There we go. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about what we see happening in the world according to Bible prophecy. And that's why I called our study Convergence. Basically, what it means when two or more things come together to form a new whole, and we see Bible prophecy coming together at a very, very fast rate. And there's many Bible prophecies that we can look at, and this thing is not going to work for me, is it? I guess not. We'll go with that. The biggest one, guys, is the state of Israel. They became a nation again. And I truly believe when that happened, God's prophetic time clock really started rolling. It's going faster and faster. David Ben-Gurion, with the birth of the nation of Israel, he believes this is according to Bible prophecy. This is according to what was said in Ezekiel chapter 37. And it occurred back on May 14th, 1948. And when I first got saved, I was very, very interested in Bible prophecy, still am, but things were not happening at this rate. I mean, you get something over here, and then maybe a couple months later, maybe something else would show up, but it just is not happening as quickly as we are seeing it today. And I think things are moving faster and faster because we're moving towards the start of the tribulation period, and prior to that is the return of Jesus Christ for his bride, the church. We call it the rapture of the church, and we'll deal with that a little bit more in our second study. But there is these convergence that's taking place with all these different points, and again, setting the stage for what's coming, the tribulation period. There's also some major apostasies that seem to have risen, and they're drawing people that know the scripture away from the truth. And we'll look at how do we defend our faith against these things? How do we stand strong? Because believe me, these people are very good at what they say. That's how deception works. So, but first we're going to look at some Bible prophecies we see coming into play. And the first one is the one world religion. And again, people don't see this as important. I remember, you know, 30 plus years ago, maybe 40 years ago, that when we spoke about Bible prophecy and this one world religion, people laughed at us. Oh, you got to be kidding me. It's not going to happen. Today, they're not laughing. They're even for it, which is amazing to me. But for this world religion to come into play, why is it even needed, I guess I should say? Because it's the false prophet that ushers in the Antichrist as the world leader. It's very interesting. Religion plays a big role in the last day events. I always thought religion, when I first got saved, that it wouldn't be that important in the last days. It's vital because when you look at the numbers of people, we're talking billions that are in some form of religion, how do you get them together? And that's what we're going to see happening. Whoops, too fast. In Revelation 13, verses 11 and 12, John said, "Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed." This other beast, he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a what? A dragon. That's not a good thing, okay? Not a good thing at all. This new world religion will help put together, like I said, the one world government. They go hand in hand, and we're seeing this big push today. And when you think about it, well, the last time humans attempted to live as one unified global community, you know when that was? Well, it was the Tower of Babel, okay? Do you see the EU Parliament in Strasbourg? What does it look like? Oh, isn't that interesting? It just happens to look like the Tower of Babel. I always find that interesting. And as much as they tried to unite themselves together, God derailed their efforts. And they're not going to succeed in this new world government with this world religion. And we'll deal with the Tower of Babel in a little bit, but it plays a role, I believe, in the last days. Now, what about this one world religion? People wonder, where do we see that? Well, we see it in Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication." So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon, the Great Harlot, or the Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. So this is the false church, guys. The harlot, Babylon the Great, okay? This is the false church. And what about the true church? Well, what is the true church called? A harlot? No. It's called the Virgin Bride of Christ, okay? Listen to how Paul speaks of the true church in 2 Corinthians 11:2. He said, For I am jealous with you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. You see, the true church is seen as a virgin, not worshiping other gods or other things, and Jesus is coming for his bride. And yet, what do we see a push today? It's this false religious system, everyone coming together. And yes, very religious in their activities. The thing is, they've moved away from Christ, and they're committing spiritual fornication. That's why they're called a harlot. They're going after false gods. And I'll share this with you, because we see where they're coming from, and today it's being embraced by the religions of the world. One Catholic writer, Malachi Martin, this is several years ago, regarding the emergence of the European superstate, which is being brought together under Rome, put it like this. He said, it will include all the lands occupied by the ancient Romans, but the religion will not be Christianity or Catholicism, Buddhism, Islam, Hinduism, or any other religion known today. It already has its own religion, if we want to call it that. It's called the New Age. The New Age movement is at this moment influencing our present policies. If you listen to Prince Edward and Prince Charles of England, it is very obvious that they speak from a New Age background, and it bodes a lot of trouble for traditional Christianity. So again, how do you unite the religions of the world together? Well, you take out Jesus Christ, the Jesus of the Bible, and then you can incorporate everyone and anyone, and that's what we are seeing. And it's a worldwide system. How do I know? Well, what did John say? The harlot sits on many waters. Well, what does that mean? The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. It's worldwide, okay? And it's going to spread to all areas of the world. I don't know if you heard this or saw this, the Pope's announcement in September of 2024. It was during a three-day visit to Singapore, and Pope Francis delivered a message to an interfaith group, offering his views on the unity of the religions of the world that all lead to a single Catholic God, you might say, quoting from that speech. Although this Pope has really not even embraced a lot of the Catholic teachings anyway. But this is what he said. He said, they are like different languages in order to arrive at God. But God is God for all. Since God is God for all, then we are all children of God. There's only one God, and each of us has a language to arrive at God. Some are Sikh, Muslim, Hindu, Christian, and they are different paths to God. I mean, it should be shocking to us. But if you understand what he's saying, and you look at the influence that this Pope has, and it may not be this one, but one of them will be that false prophet that comes on the scene that John is speaking of in Revelation 13 and the religious system in Revelation 17. And again, who are they coming after? They're coming after the ones that are causing the problems for this false religious system and also the global government, true Christians. Again, you know, Revelation 17:6. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of what? Oh, the saints. And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Understand, this is in the tribulation period. Understand that these are those who have come to Christ during that period of time. And the world religious system is trying to destroy them, wipe them out. And false religious systems, even those who claim to be Christian, are at the forefront of trying to destroy Christianity even today. We saw that with Rome, right? We saw that with the Catholic Church that tried to destroy those that were trying to get the Bible into the hands of the common people. And why was it such a big deal? Why were they so worried about getting the Bible into the hands of the common people? Because Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. They knew what they were teaching is not found in the Bible. So it was a problem for them. And they're also trying to destroy Christianity by bringing in false teaching. And what does false teaching do? It moves people away from the true and living God. And it can start out like a cancer cell very slowly, but it can spread and destroy a person and even a church. How can this happen? Well, only 25% of Christians read their Bible at least once a week. 25%. 50% of Christians never read their Bible, or they will read it only once or twice a year. So how do you get false teaching in? People don't know what they believe. And so these guys, again, how do people scam, especially older people now on the internet, because they cause them to believe something that's not true? I get phone calls. I used to get phone calls that, you know, my son is in some part of the world and, you know, he's in the hospital and he needs money. I'm like, well, no, I just talked with him the other day. He's home, so. I like what Abraham Lincoln said. He said, give me 6 hours to cut down a tree and I will use 4 to sharpen my axe. I like that. We have to prepare for the job God has called us to do, even in these trying times. And that job is to bring the gospel message of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. So what does the enemy do? He gets us to believe a false gospel, like a works-based salvation or the prosperity gospel or all roads lead to God gospel. And I'll give you this example. And I want you to see that Bible-believing Christians can be taken in by false teaching. And many times when you confront them, they get mad and they end up walking away from your friendship. As crazy as it sounds, it happens. Now, I'm not trying to offend anyone here, so please understand. I'm just giving you the information. You pray about it, see what God wants you to do. But I'm going to share with you something that is really alarming to me. And here it is. Sorry. It's the Chosen. Okay? It deals with the life of Christ. My question is, does it really picture Jesus as Almighty God who became flesh and dwelt among us? I don't think so. It shows his humanity, but his deity is in question. In one episode, just think about this, okay? This blows me away. Jesus, before Jesus gives a sermon on the Mount, he's asking his men about the message he will speak, how it sounds. What do you think? You need something? Should I tweak it a little here? You know, when Peter tried to get Jesus to change his views, what did Jesus say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. I think Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, knows exactly what to say. He doesn't have to ask us, what do you think about it? All right? But again, how can we move so far away from the truths of God found in the Word of God? Here it is. Jenkins has a Christian testimony. He's one of the writers, producers, partners in this film. But also there's Mormons, Roman Catholics, and Jews. And the executive producer is a Mormon. The production company is Mormon-owned. And the work is in partnership with Mormons. And Jenkins, when responding to the criticism for working with Mormons, listen to what he said. We love the same Jesus. I will sink or swim on that statement. Now, let me ask you this. Do Mormons believe in the same Jesus that we believe in? Absolutely not. He's the brother of Lucifer, right? Their Jesus. He's not Almighty God. And at its root, Mormonism is also a works-based religious system. How do I know that? Because they come to my door in the summertime and spring and fall. It's work-based. They have to. And it's basically a cult. The series does represent the Bible teaching sometimes accurately, but sometimes it puts the words in Jesus' mouth that are not in the Bible, some that are controversial pertaining, it doesn't represent the scriptures. A lot of space. You know, think about it. We got 27 books of the New Testament. There's four Gospels. I don't know, they're on the fourth season already? Jesus didn't speak that much, okay, that's written down for us. Not that much. Yeah, he had a ministry for 3.5 years, but we don't know all that he said. All that we know is what we have in the Gospels. But some of these space-filling scenes are really dangerous, and here's a point. The man playing Jesus answers a disciple's question relating to a truth Jesus would know. And Jesus answers this, what does your heart tell you? Now think about that. For most of us, that's like a red flag, right? The heart is desperately wicked, the Bible says. My heart's all messed up. I need something that's true, the Word of God, to guide me. Alongside the Holy Spirit opens up the Word to my heart and to my life. So that's not a biblical teaching. You know where that's found in? What does your heart tell you? Mormon. Well, the bad part. But what does your heart tell you? That's Mormon teaching. You know, I get this deep burning feeling in my heart. That's what they say. I say take Tums, right? Because I get that too. And you got to take an antacid, right? But no, that's not what we're to do. We're to use the Word of God because I guarantee you feelings will mess you up. But God's Word will never mess you up. Where does Mormon theology lead us to? Deception. We have to pay attention to the red flags. Sometimes these things make us feel really good. But are they biblical? If people want to watch it, that's fine. I have no problem with that. The problem is, if you're getting your theology from a television show or a movie, you're in trouble. As much as I love the Ten Commandments, I watch it and I go, oh my gosh, I can't even remember who Edward G. Robinson played, but I just think of him as a gangster So, again, don't get your theology from these things. They're entertainment, but these people are taking, oh, I just love the way Jesus did that. Do you feel the same way when you read the Bible? You should feel even more so when you read the Bible, because that's a show produced by Mormons, okay? Again, the ecumenical movement, or all faiths coming together for the betterment of man, that television show, all kinds of people watch it, or those movies. All kinds. You could be Mormon, you could be Catholic, you could be Christian. All faiths can watch it. But again, this article is from October 8th, 2024, and the global religious leaders assembled in Astana to discuss conflict resolution. And this is what they wrote, or said. Over the past few years, humanity has faced unprecedented challenges. Today, the world is in a situation where all current global challenges and threats are intertwined, interdependent, and mutually reinforcing. The situation in the Middle East is very difficult. We are all deeply concerned about the escalating tensions in the region. Our country calls on all parties involved to abandon the use of force in order to avoid civilian casualties and further deterioration of the situation. In this regard, we note the importance of taking early measures to resolve disagreements in the Middle East exclusively through political and diplomatic means, within the framework of the principles of the UN Charter and international law, said Ashambayev. I screwed up his name, but that's the pronunciation I'm giving you. In addition, the bloody conflict in Ukraine continues. In general, there are more and more hotspots on the planet. The escalation of conflicts undermines the achievements of the international community over the past decades, leads to an arms race and more. Most importantly, suffering and losses among the civilian population, he added. He emphasized that in an era marked by the rise of radical ideologies, xenophobia, and the spread of malicious misinformation, the role of an interfaith dialogue platform is ever more important. World religious leaders call on building bridges. One guy, head of the official Sheikh al-Azir, echoed his words regarding peaceful resolution. He said, despite the challenges that humanity is facing today, and despite the growing tensions, al-Azhar is always against using force in any context, especially regarding the Middle East, he said. Masa also addressed the need to use high moral values as a guiding principle in all political decisions. What we see spreading is the hatred towards other religions, and this is the key problem for humanity. From the moment when God has created this world and all of us, the aim was to unite us and to provide security of a humanity, he said. So God wants to unite us, but not Jesus, but these interfaiths. Is it true? No. What did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Very clear. I mean, you could read it in Greek, you could read it in English, you could read it in any language. It's the same thing. No one comes to the Father except through him. That's pretty simple. The only way we can have unity is in Christ. He's the one who unites us together. Also, the uniting together reminds me of what happened after the flood. We talked about the Tower of Babel. Genesis 11, 1 through 4. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Now, this one language, look at where we are today. Look at all the languages that are out there. But did you know we have the ability with our smartphones to speak to people and understand what they're saying in different languages? When I was in Russia, I sat down and one of the Russian guys wanted to talk with me. And we were one-on-one, and he didn't speak English, and I didn't speak Russian. So that's kind of tough to do. So he got out his phone, spoke into his phone, it translated it. I spoke into the phone, it translated into Russian. Yeah, very interesting how we're uniting now with the same language. Also, their ability to rebel against God. Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. Let us. What did God tell them to do? To spread out, not come together. They're in a defiance to God. Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens, or to worship the heavens, the spiritual world. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. And look at the rebellion we see today of man, living as there's no God, and yet we see the hand of God moving in a powerful way in the days we're living in. Like the Tower of Babel, judgment's going to come. Let me show you what I mean. Hopefully this isn't real loud. The music is kind of creepy, but the whole show is kind of creepy. It's only a couple minutes. But I want you to see, this was at the 2022 Commonwealth Games. And watch how there's this Tower of Babel, and there's this bull that they are worshiping, Baal worship. It's creepy, okay?
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.